And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. I believe we've got John and Tim on the line. Good evening, men. Good morning, men, I should say.
Good morning. Richard here, too.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. And before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. John, you want to start us off with a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, come before you this morning. Grateful, Lord, as we come to the end of this year. Grateful for all of the many blessings, but also thankful for the tests and the trials and the tribulations that show that you love us, Lord. Your word says that you only test those that you love. We thank you for those tests, Lord. We thank you for the times that we pass them. We ask for forgiveness for the times that we don't. Continue to ask for more Holy Spirit, more faith. Lord, both of those things we need in abundance to come to that place of complete obedience that your word calls for. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. Lord, that's our desire for this new year. As the remnant, to seek what it is you would have us to do. To say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And Lord, we ask that, just like your word says in Daniel, that in those last days, knowledge would increase. We continue to ask for a special anointing to be upon your people, the remnant. Lord, that knowledge would increase. That you would show us these truths, Lord, that are hidden within the living word, the Bible. Guide and direct us. Give us more wisdom and understanding and discernment. Show us what it is you would have us to do to come to that place where we are worthy of these best gifts, Lord, that your word says we are to earnestly desire. Well, we're desiring them, Lord. We know you can't give them to us until we come to that place where we need to, where we put our selfish desires and our selfish wills and goals behind us. We seek to love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That's our desire, Lord, for the year of our Lord 2016. It's for you to take complete control of our lives. Lord, for us to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless this time this morning. Give us the words that your people need to hear, Lord. Wake up your people, the remnant, all across the country. Let them tune in. Let them be a part of this, Lord, that we can encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, just as your word says. Because we can see the writings on the wall, Lord, just like it was Nebuchadnezzar's time. We humbly but boldly ask for grace and mercy, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We pray all these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You know, as we talk about, you know, and desiring the best gifts, and I think that is important, but it's one of those things that me and Dad used to talk about it, and so often it's like you run into somebody, especially a lot of these people that come out of a charismatic church, charismatic background. You know, the big things in the charismatic churches are speaking in tongues, and you know, they almost look down upon a person if they don't speak in tongues or if they've never spoken in tongues before. And I know that I know I've run into a number of people. I mean, that's, you know, when you're talking to somebody that is from that kind of church, you know, that's one of the first things that they ask you is, you know, have you spoken in tongues? And like it's a pride thing. And And it's interesting because, you know, they talk about, you know, speaking in tongues. I mean, the Bible's very clear on speaking in tongues, and, you know, that there is such a thing. But it also is very clear that there's to be an interpreter. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't believe that I've ever run into somebody. Actually, I take that back. I've run into a very few that speaking in tongues was ever done properly in biblical order. And it's just kind of it's one of those things that it's you know it's something that's not taught, and you know that's one of the things that they teach in predominantly in these charismatic churches is you know I remember going to one years and years ago, and you know they had a class on speaking in tongues, and you know it speaking in tongues is something that is not, you know, it says a new tongue will be given to you, or you'll be given a new tongue. It doesn't say that it's something that's going to be taught to you. And
nope.
You know, I think that that's something to remember too. It's you know, it's something that you can't go out and practice, or that you can't learn on your own. It's something that, you know, if God gives you something, he gives it to you.
True. Well, it can come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well.
Well, it can come in a lot of, yeah.
We're to receive it. But you're not going to receive it until the time's right.
Right.
You know, we don't have all the answers, but just like you say, there's, in moderation, things are, people take things to extreme to glorify themselves or to put themselves in a limelight. In most instances when it comes to the greater gifts. But that's not how it's supposed to be used, though. Those gifts are to be used in humility.
Absolutely.
Of your brethren. That's the difference.
That is
when
the difference.
When you shine a limelight on yourself and you say, oh, look at me, here I am, I have these greater gifts, then you don't have them.
No,
but
exactly.
The Lord,
well, that's the point that I'm trying to make.
With
that,
discernment.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's the point I'm trying to make, is that, you know, there's a right way to have them and there's a wrong way to have them.
Absolutely. And it's a discernment of spirits. And the way I understand it, the more you start to realize that you have these gifts, God will put you in circumstances where you'll use them, and you'll learn to master them. Just like anything else, you know, it takes practice, I think, to be able to use these greater gifts to the point where the Lord wants you to use them. But it all has to be done in humility, and it all the credit always has to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if you look at 1 Corinthians 14 is one of the, you know, chapters that talks a lot about speaking in tongues and the interpreter that Jason was talking about, and some of the other stuff, but in verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about a one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. And I think that in a way we all speak in tongues when we pray to God directly, not to show men off, but that's that groaning of the spirit that God interprets. That's that other thing. True believers, true redeemed individuals, when they pray to God, there's a language there that transcends our speech. You know, there's, how many times are there when we pray, we're like, I don't have the words to express that, Lord, but it's expressed. I mean, that's that language between you and God, you know.
So, right, like an angelic language.
Yeah, yeah, it's translated by God.
To me.
Right. Yeah, well, and I believe that, and I think that I think the Bible makes that pretty clear too. So it ties right into what you're saying, John. If you're just doing it to impress everyone around you, the purpose is incorrect. You know, that's not what
right.
it's about. So,
and you know, so many. Of,
go ahead, Richard.
So many of our people, you know, we're a visual people. We believe things when we see it. You know, seeing is believing. Those type things. And unfortunately, our enemy understands that very well. And so they've done a good job of perverting what is pure and true and right and proper in the Word of God. And they've done a good job of perverting it in a way that we see it. And so it causes our people to think that things are a certain way when they're not. Now, the way to combat that is to read the Bible. Certainly to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us in all understanding and helps explain the Word to us and that type of thing. Excuse me. But when our people will read the Word, they will read things like you read, Tim, that where the Bible describes what these gifts are and how they are to be used. And you know, the Bible, God is a God of order, and the Bible is a Bible of order. And there is an order to things that are biblical. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit can't come in and like the wind, shift you in your direction and have that 10-minute rule. It doesn't do away with that, but there's an order. There's an order in speaking with tongues. There's an order with tithing. There's an order with forgiveness, you know. I mean, there is. There's an order in love. But I think what has happened in so many instances, and I had some friends back in Florida that got caught up in this. Their church got caught up. They had what they called a laughing spirit. And they credit it to the Holy Spirit. But I never, you know, in the years since then, I've never been able to read anything in the Bible where God sent a laughing spirit on his church. Where for two and a half hours, the whole church would, you know, do nothing but blah 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 blah, hee hee hee, haba haba haba, and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, and you know, but the people felt good, and the guy up in the pulpit was telling them, this is from the Holy Spirit. Now they had not prayed for wisdom, they had not prayed for discernment, they just believed that lie. And so they were caught up with it. But they were good people, you know, but they were caught up in the lie. And whether they wanted to believe that lie or not, they were certainly caught up in it. And I think so many of our people are. Like you said, Tim, there's, you know, the Bible is very specific in the instance of speaking in tongues. And you said it too, Jason. And so, you know, I think it's even the Apostle Paul, doesn't he say, I'd rather speak 5 words that edify the body than 10,000 words in tongues. And so I think that should, you know, when we go back and read the Word and see what the Bible says about it, you know, we don't need, you know, at least in that English language, we have the interpreter, the Holy Spirit, that when we read, just like you read there, Tim, well, we can understand that. We don't have to have somebody that's gone to seminary that has, you know, studied and has the degrees hanging on the wall. That's not the qualifications and the requirement for somebody to be able to tell us as believing, baptized, repentant Christians what the Word says. We can read it, and he gives us understanding in it. You know, I had a call at the ministry. It's been about a month ago now, and Jason, it was just like you're saying. The guy's, talking about the ministry and this and that, and then he says, "Well, so do you pray in the Spirit?" And I told him, "Yes, I pray in the Spirit. I said I do my very best to. I understand the Bible when it says we're to pray at all times, that we are to pray in the Spirit. You know, that there's times." As you said, Tim, we don't have the words to describe, but that's part of praying in the Spirit. That, you know, it's our heart that's crying out to God, you know, for the repentance of people, or for our repentance, or for whatever it may be. And so the guy says, "Oh, so you pray in tongues?" And I said, "No, I said I don't know that I've ever spoken in tongues." And immediately he says, "Well, you are not praying in the Spirit." And I halted him, and I said, "Listen, brother. I said, I'm going to rebuke you right now in Christian love. I said, because you are incorrect. You are wrong. I said, you are adding to the Word. You're taking your interpretation and applying it to the gospel. And I said, you know, I'm a baptized Christian believer and have been for over 20 years. And I said, I have certainly prayed in the Spirit, and I have seen my prayers answered that I've prayed in the Spirit and others. And I said, and it was in an English language, buddy. And I said, you can't, you know, that's an improper application. Because, and the sense there was pride on his part. Oh, he has done this, and he understood these things. And, you know,
that's what I said, it's humility. Without humility, it means nothing.
Right. It's just not that way. But when we, you know, I just think, you know, what we have to do as a Christian people is we have to be grounded in that word. You know, it really does. We have to be. And when we are, you know, last Wednesday night, Miss Irene from Texas called in and gave a testimony after the prayer meeting on the Hope is Alive program. And she went out to Mr. Cox in the Deliverance Ministries and went through a session there and had praise reports and had physical healings and was certainly, you know, doing much better after. I think it was a very success, a good success. And that's one of the things that she commented on was, you know, she kind of went through the process that Mr. Cox and his team goes through. And she said, you know, she said, I, because I'm grounded in the Word, because I've read the Word, I've learned under Pastor Peters and this Scriptures for America ministry who tells us, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. She said, so I've been reading the Word. And so she said, so I knew the things that he was doing there when he is praying in Jesus' name and when he is doing things that Christ and the disciples did. She said, I knew that it wasn't unbiblical because, she said, I've been reading the Bible, and I know what the Bible says. You know, she didn't say, well, I felt it in my heart that, you know, this was right, or anything like that. It was, I've read it in the Word, so she said, I felt pretty confident, and I was trusting in God that, you know, that this would be a godly thing. And she said, as far as she could tell, it was. But it was because she'd been reading the Word, because she was grand, she knew what was in the Word, so she didn't believe when, you know, these people, as our people have in the past, whether it's some laughing spirit or, you know, there's been spirits going through churches where they bark like dogs, you know, and they attribute that.
You know, the difference is I've witnessed, and I'm sure you have too, been in prayer meetings and praying over people and things like that where the gift of knowledge will be given to one of the people who's praying, and something will come to mind that you're supposed to say to that person to tell them what it is that you believe is the hindrance and that they need to deal with this. And I was, you know, I've prayed with Dad many a times and other pastors that were part of the ministry over the years, and absolutely that's what happens. But see, the difference is if you have the gift, that's between you and God. Yeah. You don't even care if anybody knows that you have the gift.
Absolutely.
Use that gift, that's the thing. You'll use that gift. And other people with discernment of spirits who are present when those gifts are being used will see that those gifts are being used. But he doesn't come up to, did you see that? Did you see that? That was the gift of knowledge. I have the gift of knowledge. No, no, no. Because if you do that, bam, that gift's gone again.
Yeah.
But yeah, your stuff is real. It's real. And when you come to the point in your life where you really, truly seek to be completely obedient, I believe God will give us these greater gifts again, and they'll be used for our people, the remnant. They will not be used for self-aggrandizement. They will not be used to grow a ministry or to cause it to have a influx of funds. They'll be used properly the way that the Word tells us they will be used. That's the thing. They're not for our own benefit whatsoever. They're for the benefit of the remnant.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well
said. So it's all, this stuff's real, and anybody who denies it is wrong, but it's to be between you and the Lord. It's a gift that God gives you for the betterment of His people, period. Not for you.
Amen.
Right. Yeah, it is. We, you know, as Christ said, He came to serve, not to be served. And that's our example. And you're absolutely
but we
right.
All,
that's why God
gives us. We're all to be his disciples,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We're all to be his disciples. We're all to fulfill the Great Commission. If we earnestly, that's why it says earnestly desire these greater gifts.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, who should not want? I mean, you know, you look at the gifts. I mean, you know, there's the gift of wisdom, there's the gift of knowledge, there's a gift of faith, there's gift of healing, gift of miracles, discernment. I mean, you think about it, and you know what? Who would not in their right mind not want these things?
The enemy.
Exactly.
And who would not want God's people to have these things? Same answer.
Same answer.
Yep. Yep.
But remember, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues is part of those greater gifts.
It is.
We don't understand all the aspects of it, but, you know, I've been in prayer meetings, but if you watch it, the ones who have the gift of speaking in tongues that I've seen, they'll speak very softly. And sometimes you can't even see it, but you can, I don't know what it is, but you can sense it. You can see it in the, don't know, but there is the gift of speaking in tongues. There is no doubt, and it is a prayer language between them and God. And there's, you know, like you said, the discernment or the ability to interpret those tongues. That may be where it's in a setting of, you know, more than one. I don't know. Never been part of that. I was part of a false one at one time at a Branson meeting where a man who boldly proclaimed that he spoke in tongues and wanted to teach everyone. That ain't how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a baptism of the Holy
Spirit.
It's a
gift. It's a gift from the, yeah, it is. That's right. So, well, and what you said, John, again, it's the Bible, summation of that is the 1 Corinthians 14:26, where they're talking about tongues, and it says, you know, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. You know, and that's what you were, that's what you're saying. It's all about edification or helping your brethren, you know, and to go. So that's absolutely right on the nose. I mean, you know,
we have to, we're commanded to earnestly desire the greater gift. If we call ourselves the remnant and we're disciples of Jesus Christ, then we better be earnestly desiring these greater gifts, because there's things that are going to come upon this nation that it's only going to be men who have been given these gifts, the gift of healing, all these gifts that we're talking about, discernment, all of these things, discernment of spirits. We're going to have these gifts to make it through the things that are coming. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, there's no doubt
but
in my mind either.
We're not going to get them until we come to that place of complete obedience, right? We have to come to that complete obedience.
Well, and I think that that's one of the things. That's one of the things that, you know, is that you know, is a false teaching too. It's. I mean, how often do you see? You know, it talks about when your obedience is complete, and you know that tells me right there that that's something that is obtainable. And so many people look at obedience and say, "Well, I'll never obtain that." You know, that's the words that come out of their mouth. You know, and
Or it can't be obtained.
It cannot. Yeah, and they put it in their mind like that, and if you have that kind of attitude and you have that kind of spirit about you, no, you will not obtain it. It's something that is obtainable. It's a point that you can get to, but you got to change your attitude before you get to that point.
I can do all.
Oh, you know,
we
complete
it. That these things will happen in the proper time. It's not our timing, it's God's timing. He'll give us these things when we need them, you know? And we're coming to the time, I think, in this world that we have to have men who have greater gifts.
And have you, you know, you ever think, I mean, one of the prayers that I've been praying for quite some time now is that, you know, that our Heavenly Father will help us to escape the destructions to come. And, you know, I believe that this is one of the things that, you know, as you pray for one thing, as we pray for to escape the destruction to come, that this could be an outcome, this could be the results of praying that prayer, is bringing, you know, it's bringing something to mind, something that, okay, you know, you work on this area. And then, you know, then you're praying for deliverance, you're praying for guidance, and you pray for wisdom. And, you know, then the Lord gives you another part of it and moves you on to another direction, on another area that you need to work on.
Yeah, exactly, Jason. That's, I mean, I think that's how the Holy Spirit works with His people. It's how we as parents work with our children. You know, whether you're homeschooling them or teaching them, you know, the things that we teach them as parents, it's, you know, you work on this. Okay? You know, like when your children are wanting to drive, when they're up 13, 14, 15, and they're wanting to drive, you know, I want a car, Dad. I want to drive. I want to be able to go do these things. Well, you know, we got to work on these things first. And you know, you work on them paying closer attention, and then you let them drive a little bit, and they work on it, and they practice it, and they get better at it because they're practicing it. And then, you know, once they get a little bit better and you're still working with them, but they're having to put some time and effort into it as well, well, they start getting a little better at driving and where they can, and then you're riding with them, and then before you know it, they're able to go get their driving permit and those type things. And you know, we need to be the same way in desiring these greater gifts, not just being happy where we're at. Okay, you know, I'm baptized. I you know, Bible says I got the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so I'm good. You know, no, we are to continue. I think the Apostle Paul says we are to continue to seek the higher road. We are to continue to grow in His grace and knowledge. And like it says there, we are to practice the things that are good and right and proper. And the Bible tells us to seek the greater gifts. The way things are in this world, they're not going to remain that way. And you know, when the proverbial, you know what, hits the fan, and it gets worse and worse in our society. John, like you said before, it is going to have to. We need men of God now. As society gets worse and worse, His remnant are going to need them more and more to help them escape the things to come.
Yep, and that's what He tells us. Pray that you're found worthy to escape the things that are coming, and. You know, that's part of the first and second resurrection, too. We, as true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, who call ourselves the remnant, should be seeking to make it into that first resurrection as well. I did a message on that at Branson called First Class or Coach.
Yep. Well, and that's exactly where I was going to go, as far as that God will raise those people up that He needs in these times. It's not a question of whether they will be there or not. They will be. The real question is, and John, you touched on that in that message very well, the real question is will you be there? You know, that's, you know, so that's the part that's about you, not the part about how much you show off your gifts or what God's given you to take advantage of with everyone. And a lot of Christians out there make that error, you know. They think it's all about them, and it's not. It's a race. I mean, you may be in the race, or you get the back pack, or you get the front of the pack, or are you even in the race? So
yeah, and His desire is to give us those greater gifts, but He can't until we come to that place. Sanctification, really, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. Do you want to run or not? Yeah. And some people just we had a call. We had a call Wednesday night of somebody saying wanted prayer for the younger generation, that they would get motivated and get involved in that, you know, and that they would have that quickening. And it's a good point. There needs to be that. So,
yep.
You know, Tim, the thought occurs to me when you mentioned that about running the race. You know, we're Paul says you box as to win. You don't just pound the air. Run the race to win. But it also says that you have to do it according to the rules.
Yep.
And I don't recall the exact scripture, but I just read it. Maybe it's in Corinthians, one of the letters to the Corinthians. But it's like, he says you have to we compete by the rules. And to me, it just shows, again, that there, you know, God is a God of order, you know, and his word tells us what the rules are. His word tells us what the order is. His word tells us certainly what to do, but also how to do it. In seeking those greater gifts, in being obedient to his word, you know, that's why Gideon was able to do the things that he did. You know, he doubted, and he was the least in his family and the least in the land, but he obeyed. And,
yep.
And, you know, and that's what, you know, that's, contrary to what you hear on Christian radio and everywhere else, that's what God wants. He wants our heart, but he wants obedience. His way is better. He says, you do this, and, you know, I'll take care of it. He tells us that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, when my people do what I've told them to do for the last thousands of years, I'll come heal their land. But we have to do that. And it's this way with these greater gifts. When we seek them, when we are in the Word, when we're overcoming self, when we're, you know, truly in many different aspects of our life, being able to say as Christ did, not my will, O Lord, but thy will. And he said that when he was facing certain death, and then he faced it. You know, that's,
the churches of the world are doing the opposite. They're teaching acceptance and tolerance.
And you know, we have to continue to be obedient to the word. You know, keeping the law, no, not for righteousness. No, we're righteous in the blood of Christ. Therefore, we can keep the law. And we are called to do that.
You want to see a sign. Look at the signs. God is fulfilling his promises to his people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28. What will happen if we don't keep his laws, his statutes, and his commandments? I mean, that ought to be more than enough sign for anybody just to say, okay, I understand that. But we're to be thankful for all things. That's what that prayer is about for December this year, is we got to remember to be thankful for these trials.
Absolutely.
And these tests, because that's how God approves us to be able to get those greater gifts. You know, he's got to make sure that we're worthy of those gifts and that we're going to use them properly, and that our desire is to master this blessing that he's given us for his people.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, and you think about
it. I'm not there yet. I'm not at complete obedience, but I'm trying.
Yep.
And I'm getting closer. I'm a lot closer than I was 4.5 years ago, I'll tell you that.
Amen. We're all in that boat.
Because we could no longer ride on the coattails of our pastor, you know?
Amen.
God determined that his time, his job here on this earth was done. And that he had given enough training to enough men that it was time for them to get off their knees as far as crawling, not praying, and stand and be like men. Act like men. How many times did Dad say,
act ye like men?
Men.
Be ye men, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know what? There's some people that are part of the body that don't like that. They don't want to see that. They liked it where they were. They were comfortable just following along, and, you know, but that's not our calling. As the remnant, with great reward comes great responsibility. Once we get that through our head, then we'll understand that if we want to be part of that remnant, then there's great responsibility. There's things that God expects us to do.
Yep.
One of them is reading our Bible. That's why we've been pushing that so hard.
Amen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, I mean, that's the thing, is you look around, you see the signs of the times that we're living in. We're living in the perilous times. We're living in those birth pains are getting more frequent every day. You know, you can look from to the you can see it in all across the world on, you know, every newspaper that you pick up, whether a, you know, a state newspaper or a county newspaper, you know, wherever it is, you look at the news things on it, and it's there's stuff that you that has happening on a daily basis that you look at just take it from a year ago of how things have drastically changed in this land from a year ago. And it's it can almost be amazing.
Yep. But what else did Dad tell us? He said, God will bring us to a Red Sea predicament where we don't see any other way out, so that no one can take the credit, but he will deliver those who are his, the remnant, the those that are obedient.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're there time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, just look what happened just this week. They passed this ominous bill, right? The Republicans, including whatever, I forget the new guy in the House.
Cruz, isn't it?
No, the House Speaker from Wisconsin,
oh,
ran for president. Anyways, just a snake. But anyways, well, they passed over a 3,000-page omnibus bill, right, that nobody's even read. They present it on Thursday, and they vote on it on Friday or Wednesday and vote on it on Thursday. And included in that is full funding for Planned Parenthood, right? So, yep, that's been and gone. We're done with that. And then also $1.6 billion with a B for the resettlement of Syrian refugees into the United States. So, our God's not mocked. What's happening in Europe is coming here.
Yep. They are coming to America.
Exponentially.
Yep.
And without that discernment, without the Holy Spirit's guidance, without these greater gifts, then it's going to be a lot more interesting, put it that way.
Yep. Yeah, God always let his people see, you know, so they could make the right choice, you know, or choose to not to. And that's really what it comes down to. It is a choice. You know, you have a choice to run the race or not. You have a choice to, you know, just allow all the sin in your land, all the sin in your life, and never say anything about it or never do anything about it. You know, you have a choice, America, to see what is going on, what is truly going on in Europe, where our people came from before they settled, you know, when they came to settle this nation, and see how they are being overrun because of their sin, because of their acceptance of anything and everything under the sun. And as was said before here, God is not mocked. You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. So if you're going to sow unrighteousness, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And they are having the whirlwind put upon them in the name of Islam, you know, left and right. And, yeah, it you see, our very government is just embracing and helping more of that come on. You know, I saw some news reports just earlier this week. That, you know, there's been, what, over 100,000 Syrian refugees resettled here in this country since 2012. Already. They're here, been here.
100,000 a month. 100,000 a month since probably 2003.
Yeah,
I mean,
wow.
A year, sorry. 100,000 a year.
Yeah, and I believe everything that I've looked at, those numbers are drastically low. I think it's a lot more than that, too.
Yeah.
Well, the phone number to call in, if anybody'd like to call in today, the phone number this morning. Now, normally you'd be calling the ranch number, and that's up there in Wyoming. That's a 307 number. This number's a little bit different. This number's a 970 number because it's a Colorado number. Phone number to call in this morning, and this morning only, is 970-224-4203. 970-224-4203. 4203, and we only got one phone line hooked up to this system, so if you call in and get a busy signal, you'll just have to wait and call right back. So 970-224-4203.
Something tells me the phone lines are lighting up in Laramie.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. That's what I was thinking, the same thing. I'm like, I bet you they're going off up there. Yeah.
We're definitely in the meat. When we get in the meat, we get a lot of calls.
Yep, that's for sure. You know, and as you look at these refugees, it's obvious. Had a man stop by the other day, and he's like, "Man, what do you think about all these?" Well, we'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey guys, I apparently was calling the wrong phone number.
Yeah, that's our fault. Sorry about that.
It's all right. I guess I'm kind of confused as to far as where you guys are standing here as far as the interpretation. It started off with, okay, yeah, there's, speaking in tongues is okay as long as there's an interpretation, and then it was mentioned it's a private language in your prayer life between you and God. I mean, am I misunderstanding something here, or am I?
I think what it's in a group. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it tells us in the Bible. I'm pretty sure it's when it's in a group, there has to be an interpreter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be speaking in tongues to the Lord in your prayer closet. Like I said, I've witnessed it in praying over people when you can feel the spirit there. You know there's going to be a healing. It's hard to explain, and it's hard to understand. You know, God's ways aren't our ways, but that's what I get out of it. If anybody has any other idea.
If our gifts that we get from God are for the edifying of the saints, you know, God has he knows our own language, so when we pray to Him, there's no need of a special or a different language that we need to pray to Him for, you know?
Yeah, there isn't.
In Acts,
it also says that we will, so...
Yeah, and that's the thing we have to remember. Again, if you, I don't know if you have a Bible program where you can just search the word tongues.
Languages.
And languages, yes.
It's 1107.
You'll see that there's different times that it means different things, like the word Jew in the New Testament. You know, there's times it means those from Judea, those of the tribe of Judah. Then there's also times that it means the Ashkenazi, the Antichrist, those that deny that Jesus was the Christ. And so, you know, you have to look through and see the what the word is, where it's used, and how it's used. But there's times that it was literally just another written language. It was Italian, or it was Spanish, or it was Portuguese. You know, we understand that. There's also a time that it says that, you know, it is for the edification of the people, of the saints. But mm-hmm. there's a proper order to it. And I don't have it right here in my Bible, and I'm certainly not the scholar that Pastor was that you know, turned right to it time and time again. But the Bible does talk about that, and so we have to make sure that we just use the Bible to define it, to describe it, because, you know, just like you said, God understands our language. You know, I and He does. He understands. You know, we're speaking English. We might be, as the pastor used to say, butcher in the King's English pretty bad. But He does. He understands that. But it doesn't mean that that's the only language is ever spoken to Him. And, you know, for any people, any of their spoken languages, but you know, the Bible describes that type of language of speaking to Him, that type of prayer language.
Well,
one thing for sure is we don't have all the everything figured out when it comes to speaking in tongues.
No, I understand.
We don't have everything figured out when it comes to Revelation or Ezekiel or Daniel or, you know, most there's things in the Bible that will be revealed to us at the proper time.
Yeah. It just seems like it's something, as far as the languages, I've always understood it as something as simple. You know, you say, let the Bible interpret itself. In Acts 2, I think it's giving you a perfect example of what they mean by the speaking in tongues. And that's when they received that cloven tongue as a fire, where they were able to edify the saints with the words that they were speaking. The different people of the area were able to receive the
tongue. And in that instance, that's exactly what it meant. It was a, you know, and they say, how these men aren't learned. How can they speak to us? Because there were people there from all over the world, you know, or at least all over the known world, and they were hearing the message spoken to them in their language. And that was for sharing the gospel. The Bible talks about a different type of tongue, a different type of language also. Again, just like, you know, Paul said, hey, I'm a Jew. It didn't mean that he was a kinky-haired, hook-nosed Ashkenazi that denied Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was from Judah. And so, and it's that same way with that tongues and that languages. It does have different meanings in different parts. And one doesn't take away from the other.
Right.
Exactly. Well, and I would clarify... Go ahead, sorry.
I would, if you guys can come up with some verses or somewhere in the Bible where it talks about a different language, as in, you know, an utterance of what we speak when it comes to our prayer life with God, I would like to see that so I can know it for myself.
I wanted to clarify 1 Corinthians 14:2. That was what I was using as that when you were praying, and I wasn't necessarily trying to get anybody to pray in tongues. What I was trying to say is there are times in our Christian walk when we pray to God, when we go to our knees, when you're so pent up that your spirit's crying out within you, and that is a tongue that you can't, how would you tell anyone else that, but God understands that. And that's what it says, you know, when you're when you're in that situation there, you pray to God and he understands it. It may come tumbling out of you in different ways that just don't, but the spirit.
Yeah, but you're still speaking it. I know what you're saying there, but you're speaking it in your own language. I mean, I understand what you're saying. So when I pray in English, and the power of my prayers and the intensity may be changed.
That's like
through
groaning
that,
in the spirit.
It's still a English speaking. You know, I'm trying to. I don't know. I guess I just don't understand what that. Part of it.
I don't think anybody really does.
You're not alone. Believe me. But
you know,
if you've experienced it, if you've experienced being around people who do it, some of the people that I believe were the most biblically knowledge and gifted, to be honest with you, that Dad knew, that were part of members of the body for years. They're no longer here, but being in their presence. And maybe it was, you know, my desire to try to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some, I don't know if you've ever been around it where you're praying over someone or something, but someone is speaking in tongues, but they're, like I said, it's private. They're just, you know. I don't have all the answers, but the reality is there's power there. And the Bible tells us that we're to be doing it. So somewhere, somehow, we need to figure out what it is that we're to do as the remnant.
So in them prayer circles that you were in, and when you seen these people do that, was it the language that they were speaking actually changed from, like, say, English to something that nobody understood?
Yeah, it's nothing like nothing you've ever heard. Yeah, and it you know.
You see, I don't see how that's any different than like what Pastor Peters would say a phony gospel church deal. I've grown up and had plenty of friends, several friends that would be in the Pentecostal religion and visit their church and stuff, and you know, they get up and they speak their tongue, different language, and it would literally, you could feel the spirit, and it wasn't, in my opinion, the right kind of spirit that was supposed to be given. And the knowledge that I've received through Pastor Peters, it kind of, you know, it put a whole understanding as to why.
Well, yeah. But they were like up in front of a group, right? I'm not, these, when I'm talking about these situations, I'm talking about men who are very, you can barely hear what they're saying. They're not doing it to receive recognition. They're doing it because they're receiving the call from the Holy Spirit that they're supposed to be praying this, or their gift of the knowledge to reveal to this person what it is that's hindering their healing. I don't know. I don't understand it all. But I'll tell you,
yeah,
if you've been in it, you'd understand that it's from God. There's no doubt in my mind that it's definitely from God, and it's a gift. And these men probably were pretty close to that place where they needed to be completely obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us can say that we're at that point? I don't know. I can't. I'm not there.
I can't.
I'm working towards it.
I can't
it.
Say that, but I'm learning, and I'm trying, and I know he sees that, you know.
Right. And that's what God wants.
These men I'm talking about are men that Pastor approved to teach the remnant. And there was very few that he approved to teach the remnant. Some were deceivers, granted. Eventually they were found out. But these people have gone to be with the Lord, the ones that I'm talking about. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and when it comes down to that tongues, there's, you know, in a group, in a church setting where you've got, you know, 20 or more people there, you know, just as an example, and you get somebody up that starts, you know, blabbering on in tongues, and there's no interpreter, that's out of order. The Bible
exactly.
is very specific about that. That's out of order. So, and I've had friends that have done that, and no, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that was leading. They thought
right.
it was. You know, just like they think when they bless these people that deny that Jesus is the Christ, they think they're doing God's will. Just like Saul of Tarsus, as he was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing God's will. But he was wrong. And it was out of ignorance. And there's so many out there that applies to. And so, you know, there is, God is a God of order. And everything that he does, from salvation to creation, everything, is, there's an order there. There's his order. And it's given to us in his word. When we step outside of that, well, that's when it's, you know, it's out of order. Simple as that.
Well, I think one of the biggest deceptions is that a person can understand it completely. You know, everybody's got an answer to it. And I don't think, I really don't believe that anybody does, that it, you know, because the Lord works on different people. So, I mean, if we had it, if we were to understand it completely, we'd have it spelled out for us a lot better. We don't. I mean, and I think that's where it talks about the gift of faith. I mean, faith is, you know, you got to have faith, you know, you got to trust the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll get off here and let somebody else try to call.
Well, we're about down to about 5 minutes left, so thanks for the
All
call.
Right. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a blessed day. Bye.
And we might have time for one more phone call if we get one real quick. 970-224-4203.
Yeah, the thing you have to be leery of is no man can give you any of these greater gifts. And I remember it was several years ago that at a camp at Branson when Dad was still there, I asked, I said, Lord, you know, I want the gift of healing. And there was a man who came up to me at that point who said, I can give you that gift of healing. And I revealed that to Dad. And with his discernment, his wisdom, which I didn't have, he said, well, that man needs to be taken off of the ministry. And he, I think he said, take him off the ministry. Well, we thought at the time that he was just upset or something like that, and we didn't listen. And that man ended up coming to a couple of Branson, like he was prophetic and this and that. And finally, at the last Branson discernment, I got discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he was a demon. And I confronted him with the authority that I have through Jesus Christ and as the authority of the head of this ministry given to me by Pastor Peters. And he had to go. There was no fight. There was no nothing. Just walk away because he was found out. And many of you men were there and experienced it. There's, I mean, can you explain that? No, you can't explain that. Spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
It was in the spiritual realm.
And I think an important thing to remember there is how long did it take for the rest of us to come to that understanding? You know, it was, what, almost 10 years ago that Pastor had that understanding. And he saw that. He saw the problem. He saw, he had the wisdom and discernment then. And it took, and you're right, we all agree with you and stood with you as that happened this year. But it took us how many years to get to that point?
But it's beyond human reasoning. That's right. Beyond human reasoning. Human reasoning is, oh, well, he's such a nice man. He gives all these gifts, and he's always complimenting, and he, But that's the weakness, you know. That's the difference between the gift of discernment of spirits, right? That's a gift that we have to seek.
We continue to do that.
And we're out of time.
I know we're almost out of time.
We are out of time. Folks, we want to thank you for tuning in here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Remember to go to our website, sfawbn.com. And we encourage you to join us for church live from the LaPorte Church of Christ tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. And go to scripturesforamerica.org to do that. We, again, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you later.
We have a free gift to give you of tremendous value that can change your life and open your eyes to the inside of world events and the present happenings in America. Listen on. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Heard worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on satellite, at the website www.scripturesforamerica.org, and on radio. This tremendous outreach is made possible by the prayers and financial support of the faithful. If this includes you, we would like to send you this special gift of a 90-minute DVD entitled Roots, From Abraham to America. It's a part trailblazing TV program with Pastor Peters and fearless famed historian and archaeologist E. Raymond Capp, bringing history and a key to the kingdom, truth, that is purposely and maliciously being kept from you and your children. Truths concerning the biblical roots of the white people who settled America. In the 1960s, the question asked by a troubled generation of Caucasian children was, "Who am I?" This DVD gives the answer, back with proofs, archaeological evidence, and maps you can get nowhere else. Get this free gift by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Ask for the Roots DVD. It's our way of saying thank you to those of you who support this Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Get it while you can, this free, life-changing, eye-opening, mystery-solving DVD, Roots, From Abraham to America. You have nothing to lose and only truth to gain.